If you're in ministry in some capacity, you know it can be overwhelming at times. Well, today we interview Jonathan Malm, the author of the new book, Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. And he's got some excellent tips on how to handle the pressures of serving in church. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, and my name is Phil Thompson. Steve Lacy, who is normally our co-host here, is not with us today. He's got a project he's working on here with us, and so you got me, but I have a guest that I thoroughly enjoy interviewing. He's back with us after, it's been a while. I don't know how long it's been, but we'll get to our guest here in just a moment. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the Church Solutions Podcast. I want to remind you that we have a webinar coming up. It's called From Crash to Comeback. And if you do streaming video with your church, as I hope every church does it in some way, this is a webinar we're going to do September 17th. And it's really specifically focused on what to do when you're streaming and all of a sudden you're not. You know, something goes wrong, something crashes, buffering, video, you know, the computer explodes. Well, maybe, I don't know if we can help you with that, but we've got some tips here with the Crash to Comeback webinar that you might want to take a look at. And it's going to be September 17th. It is 12 noon, and you can sign up for it at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And here's the thing, even if you can't make the webinar live, sign up anyhow, because that way you'll get a recorded copy of it. And while you may not always have problems Sunday morning, in fact, we hope you don't have problems streaming your church services, occasionally something goes wrong, right? And so it's kind of nice to have what we're going to talk about in your back pocket, so to speak. We'll give you some tips, some things for your volunteers, as well as you. So so check it out and just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. From Crash to Comeback. That's coming up here real soon. Well, can't believe we're already in September here. All right, so this is episode number 443. And our guest today is an author, and he's an entrepreneur. He grew up in the mountains of Guatemala as a missionary kid. And later on, he moved to Texas, where he finished up his schooling there, got his bachelor's degree in marketing. And then he also began writing and working with the church as a creative director, if I remember right. And he had his hand in a lot of things, as many of us do, involved in ministry, from leading worship to running the technical side of things. And during that time, that's where he really developed a creative passion for creative process and helping churches to effectively communicate. So he's got websites and stuff. We'll talk a little bit about that later. He does conferences. And the last time it's been a while, but I think he still lives in San Antonio, Texas. Is that right?
I do. Yeah.
All right. Where he writes. And do you still roast your own coffee beans?
I don't anymore. I've finally embraced just there are really good coffee beans that are roasted for me. So,
all right. Well, all right. I'll scratch that off your list. His latest book is called Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. So please welcome Jonathan Malm to the Church Solutions Podcast. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's a good rainy day. So
really?
Not too bad. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
It's been pouring.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we got monsoon action here in Arizona. We're in Tucson, so we do get monsoons this time of the year, but I think it's going to be like 104 today or something. So,
we're rocking 84, which is not bad for September in San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio is a beautiful place. I've been there. I like it. Okay, so let's talk about the book, Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. You have been helping churches for a long time. Before we do that, real quick, let me back up. You've got several websites. One of them was Church Designs. Help me with that.
Church Staged Ideas. Yeah, another person has taken that over, but that was one of my first projects. Now, most of my time is spent with SundaySocial.tv, which is like a library of graphics that churches can use for their social media. And then a new one is PastorRev.com. It's basically AI sermon prep tools, not AI. Yeah, not What's that?
Repeat that website again.
Yeah. PastorRev.com. REV, like rev up your pastor. Okay. So yeah, it's really cool. It basically just uses AI as a research assistant, not so much a thinking assistant. So can do some really cool stuff for sermon prep, for planning object lessons, all sorts of really cool tools that are built in on that site. So.
All right, good. Well, we can talk a little bit about that later. So let's talk about the book, as I mentioned here. Burnout, Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. Okay, so why do you think, and I know a thing or two about this, but why do you think burnout is such a prevalent issue among ministry leaders?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. And in the book, we talk really about 10 pillars of health. So I think one of the disservices we do to this topic of burnout is by saying, if you only do this, or if you only do this, or if you, you know, if you're truly, you know, serving God, you can't burn out. And we say all these nice ideas, but burnout is a complex issue. But yeah, I mean, in ministry, even if it wasn't for the current sort of mega church excellence, like we gotta kill it, you know, kill it for the Lord. There's just this thing that, you know, as pastors, especially if you're in ministry in any way, pastoral type, you're going to just get people's burdens put on you. Counselors are also at risk for burnout for the same reason, where you just, everyone is loading their junk on you and it gets exhausting after a while. And if you don't have a healthy outlet for being healthy yourself, for resting, for setting boundaries, for all the things that are necessary for health and leadership, you're at risk for burnout.
Yeah. Now, you've been working with churches and ministries for a long time. You still look like you're 28, but how old are you anyhow? How old are you?
I'm almost 40. I'm 40 in January.
Yeah, you look great. But thanks. You've been doing this for a long time. But how about your personal experiences? How did your personal experiences as a leader, as a consultant, factor into writing this book?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was when you said I was working at a church, I was the pastor's kid. So I had the pressures of pastor's kid. I was in the process of trying to like push my dad toward being a more modern church as we were growing. The church that we were at when we started there, it was 75 people. It had gone through a massive church split, you know, previously 1,000 people. They were buying that building, so they were in debt for the building. But then the current property was run down. Obviously, we couldn't afford the new building. It was a messy situation we walked into. And then we were trying to get the church healthy, trying to then grow it, trying to modernize it, bring this 50-year-old church into, you know, what we were trying to accomplish with the church. It was a lot of work, and there was a lot of things to do and a lot of volunteers to work with and a lot of, you know, just the general message you get with the church where, you know, people are going to leave because things are changing and then they're going to say bad things about you or about your dad. And there was just a lot of stuff that I had to wade through in ministry, and it was complicated. It wasn't a simple thing. So then, you know, fast forward to, you know, whenever, however many years later it was, 16, 18, 20 years later, whenever my friend Jason Young, we wanted to write this book. He had a lot of similar experiences in church, obviously working with North Point Ministries, all the campuses. So massive mega church. My church was, you know, maybe on the 800 member side whenever I left, and we just had similar experiences and similar thoughts about it. And I did a lot of the research and came up with these ideas.
Now, so you've been with large churches, but I mean, in the United States today, anyhow, I mean, what's the average church size in the United States? Like 70 people, 80 people, maybe?
Yeah. 75, 80, 100 around there. It's. And I mean, it's there you have the problem of one person carrying the load for everyone, right? And the thing that happens in smaller churches, which is one of the amazing things about smaller churches, is that people who need a little bit more attention tend to go there. I want direct access to the pastor. You know, at a church of 1,000, very few people have direct access to the pastor, right? Church of 100, every single one of those 100 people has direct access, and sometimes their family members as well, right? Like it's so, you know, we have all these people with direct access to us, and it can be exhausting. It can, you know, and we get into ministry because we love people. We get into ministry because we want to help people. We want to work hard. Nobody gets into ministry for a cushy job. Like that's there are cushy jobs out there. Ministry is not one of them, right? You don't get in there for high pay and for easy work, right? You get in there because you're passionate about leading people, about solving problems. And that's kind of the premise of the book, is that you can accomplish a lot and you can lead in a high capacity way while also being healthy. It is possible, and we've seen it happen. Unfortunately, we've also seen the opposite happen, where people get really unhealthy and burn out. And Jason and I, we just wanted to help. We wanted to stop that. We've seen so many of our friends, especially during COVID, burning out, even leaving the faith. And that's tragic.
Yeah, it is very. So let me continue to get off track here a little bit, because I like to do that.
I love it too.
So from somebody that's had experiences in both, you've had experiences in, I guess, what you would call mega churches and smaller churches. If money wasn't an object, you know, which one would you pick if you wanted to pastor a church? Would you pastor a smaller church, or would you rather pastor a mega church?
I think I would want to pastor a church in the way that I think is healthy. And if it's 80 people that show up, or if it's 1,000 people that show up, that's for me. I think, you know, there's this thing that happens when a church grows where you have to change. If you're wanting to keep letting it grow, right? You have to change the way you approach things. And some leaders can rock and roll with that, right? Like, they have the capacity to make those shifts, to change things, to change where they're no longer, you know, relating directly to people, instead of now they're leading an army of people who, you know. So I think it would be about, you know, hey, this is what I can do, and that's all I can do. And if, you know, people need to leave because I'm not creating the church that's right for them, that's okay, right? I think that's one of the problems that we get into, is we try to be like other people. We are trying to be a mega church. Very few people are trying to be a small church, right? Like, I don't know of any pastor that wants to be small, right? Be in a small church. But so we see, you know, what these mega churches are doing and say, if I can only do that, I'll have what they have. But it doesn't align with our unique personality and the way that God has gifted us. And it can cause us to, you know, we sacrifice our values. And that's one of the chapters in the book, is we sacrifice our values. You know, what do we truly value, because we were wanting a different result? And that can lead to burnout.
All right, so let's get back to the book.
Sorry to not answer your question explicitly. Instead, I totally politicized it. I did the politician route.
You dodged the question. All right. No, you didn't. It was good. That was good. So the book, Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. You mentioned it kind of at the beginning here about some, I don't know if it was 10 strategies or something, but mm-hmm. what are a few of the key strategies you could just talk about here for a few minutes on the podcast?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the ones which I think most people in church would relate to immediately is the idea of setting healthy boundaries. Kind of alluded to it in the beginning, where we were talking about how, you know, you love people, you're passionate about people, you want to help people. And the concept of setting boundaries almost feels opposite to love, right? Like, well, you can't set boundaries, right? Jesus didn't, he did set boundaries. But, you know, like, there's this notion in ministry that, like, you just need to, pour, you know, and it's true, you know, I pour myself out as a drink offering, right? Like, the idea of, like, there's this concept of, I want my life to be at zero, right? Like, my energy level should be at zero when I die, because I gave it all for the kingdom, right? The problem is, a lot of what happens at churches is not necessarily ministry. You know, I mean, not as a pastor, but let's say I'm a graphic designer in church, right? Like, my role is not necessarily ministry. My role is to make graphics. And there are things that happen last minute. You know, hey, you know, so instead of spending time with my family, hey, can you design this graphic last minute, right? And that continually chips away at my health, my ability to prioritize certain things. So you get what I'm saying, though. The idea that, you know, sometimes boundaries don't necessarily mean that we're not doing ministry. And really, for me, the approach of boundaries is creating a gate that lets people in, not creating walls. I think a lot of times people think of boundaries as walls, like, well, I'm going to keep these people out, I'm going to keep these people out. Whereas a gate allows traffic to flow in at a healthy rate. There are times we shut the gate because we need to do something else, right? There are times we open the gate to let people in when it's appropriate. And boundaries is such an important thing. So, I mean, that's a big one right there that I think most people directly relate to.
Yeah. I like the idea of the gate, yeah, too. I like the gate in that you incorporated in that. That's good, because that implies what you just said. People, you're not just keeping people completely out, but you're regulating. You've got a regulator.
Yeah. And then another one is perfectionism, I think. where we have a standard for ministry that maybe Jesus isn't putting on us, especially in a mega church approach where we're like, we have to be excellent for the kingdom. And we can consequently try to create Hollywood level productions every weekend where, you know, we don't have that staff, we don't have that budget, we don't have that, you know, we don't have that infrastructure. And we have this pressure to create this amazing production to rival, you know, Elevation Church, to rival Lakewood, to rival any of these mega churches, where that's not who we are. That's not the capacity we have. And it becomes really unhealthy, and we can start, you know, sacrificing our values. Again, I talked about that's another chapter, but that also is often what happens is we say, okay, well, like, I can't actually meet with this person to minister with them because I have to make an amazing graphic design for the Sunday, or I have to, you know, program the lights for the Sunday. So I can't talk to my volunteer about the struggles they're going through in their marriage because I don't have time for it, which is a misalignment of priorities that excellence actually takes away from true ministry.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's definitely a point. We put a lot of, I used to be, and I probably still am to some degree, a perfectionist, but I saw that really interfere in relationships, you know, even in my marriage, you know, yeah. And my wife's kind of a perfectionist too. So, you know, you get two perfectionists clashing. You're like, how's that going to work?
But different ideas of what perfection is, right?
Exactly. All right. So, boundaries, perfectionism. Give me one more thing to keep in mind when it comes to avoiding burnout.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big one. I think a big one is values as well. So, I mean, I have a friend who runs a church network of sorts. Like, it's like this creative community. And I remember he was really frustrated and really ready to give in. Like, I just want to get rid of this thing. I hate it now. Which is so interesting because he started this community. He loved it. And as I was talking to him, it turned out that it was just this one sponsor that was paying him a lot of money that was asking for things he wasn't willing to give. But because the money was there, he had to do it. And so he was sacrificing his values and you know, there was nothing wrong with making money with this community, right? Like, it's good to make money from the things that you're doing, right? A worker is worth his wage. But he was sacrificing the values that he had for this community for something else. And whenever he realigned his priorities, I helped him think through that and just say, hey, maybe you should just drop this sponsor and do without that money. And it's amazing. Once he did that, he's like, I love this again. I'm excited about it again. And that so often happens in churches where, you know, we value growth. You know, we value, hey, we want to be 1,000 members. We're only 800 people right now, but we want to get to 1,000. And then what we do is we sacrifice our rest, or we sacrifice our family, or we sacrifice our team members. We're like, hey, you know, you gotta, that graphic needs to be better. And we abuse people and use people. Mm-hmm. And we're sacrificing our values for something that is good, but it should not be a priority, right? Like, growth in church is great. Reaching more people is great, but it should not be the priority.
Yeah, that is so good. All right. So I'm a pastor listening to this podcast, and you're ringing a bell on a couple things in my life. What are some things I can do to achieve more of a work life balance? Are there some tips that, you know, how can I get out of this crazy mode that I'm in and get in more of a balanced life?
Yeah. And you know, there's very specific things depending on what area of lack of health you're in. Right. But I think the biggest one that I always encourage people who are starting out in ministry is you have to realize that Sunday is relentless. Right. And so what we do is we get into this cycle of this Sunday is the only thing that I can see. And so we create duct tape solutions. If I can just get through this Sunday, I'll be okay. Right. And we maybe do things that are not going to help us long term. You know, we like that volunteer that like is on the verge of burnout, but I got to get my planning center roster filled. And so we can you please just get in there? We duct tape them in there, and they're about to wear out. We're about to lose them, but because we're trying to make this Sunday a success, we sacrificed 52 Sundays from now, right? So I encourage people who work at churches, think instead of week to week, think, what do I want my ministry to look like a year from now? What do I want my life to look like a year from now? My leadership, my family, and then start making decisions, sacrifice in the short term to be able to achieve that long term. So, you know, if you're a kids pastor or something and you say, man, I'm just worn out. My volunteers are worn out, but I got to make this Sunday happen. What if you said, hey, we're going to shut down for a couple of weeks. We're just not going to have kids ministry for a couple of weeks. Give our team a break, recenter. And yeah, people are going to be mad. People are going to be upset, but it's what we need to do in order to achieve health a year from now. Mm. And it feels like you can't do that, but you can, right? In every area of ministry, we don't have to do all these things that we do. Like, I mean, having this amazing production every Sunday, it's great. There's nothing wrong with that, but we don't have to do it every Sunday. We can take a break. We can strip it down 1 week. So that's what I would encourage people to do, is just think long-term about what you want it to look like and just take simple steps toward that and sacrifice in the short term to be able to get healthy in the long term.
That's really good. That's good stuff. It takes some guts. Sometimes
takes cuts,
that though, right?
Yeah, and you have to be honest with a leader. You know, if you're not the leader, you have to be honest with your leader. Say, I don't think this is sustainable, which takes humility on your part, right?
Yeah.
I don't think this is sustainable, and I think this is what we need to do in order to be healthy a year from now. Paint the picture of what are they going to get from this, right? Like, if you're working with a leader, you always have to lead up and say, okay, I have to help you see what I see, right? So you definitely have to paint the picture. But I mean, I don't know of a pastor who actually cares about people who's willing to say, who's, you know, unwilling to say, okay, yeah, I get it. Take a couple of weeks off and let's recenter and let's get healthy.
Well, all right. So let's wrap this up. Let's talk a little bit about the future of ministry. Now, you know, we've gone through COVID. Our company, we do a lot of things. One of them is streamingchurch.tv. And so we saw a lot of people doing streaming video, and that's kind of backed off to some degree. But how do you feel like, What do you see as the future of ministry and the challenges for the leaders ahead here moving forward? I mean, do you have a crystal ball?
I don't have a crystal ball.
That's not biblical, is it? I guess the biblical. No. So do you have a word from God?
I have a magic eight ball up there, but that doesn't give much help either. So.
I like it. I think that's worse. But anyhow, but let's talk a little bit about the future of ministry. I mean, what do you think the opportunities are, and anything come to your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know the we have this tendency as human beings in the church as well to pendulum swing from one extreme to the next, right? So a while ago, we were very much like, hey, let's make this church feel like a living room. It's going to feel like our family. It was very much homey, very community, potlucks every week, every month, you know, and I could go for a good potluck. And then we swung to this other extreme of, let's make it excellent. Let's make it incredible. Let's bring people in who have no connection with us and always be available to them. And, you know, like, you know, they don't need to, you know, meet us. They can be very anonymous. They can come in, leave, but still get the message, right? And we're swinging back, I think, to the other extreme. I think COVID, one of the things COVID taught us is that the least important thing that happens at church is what happens between the beginning and the end of the service, right? Like that like 1 hour is actually the least important part of our service. Because during COVID, you know, if my church didn't have a good production, I could go check out Elevation. Their production's incredible. I could go check out a huge church that had an amazing message, amazing worship. I could do all of that if I couldn't go to church. But what I missed the most was the people. I missed, you know, the diversity of ages, of socioeconomic backgrounds. I missed this ability to walk into a place that with people that I might not otherwise be around, but because of our commonality in Christ, there was community and there was ability to learn from each other and ability to encourage each other. That's what we miss the most. So I really do think that there's going to be a big swing back toward, I mean, potluck dinners, you know, something as simple as that, just the idea of like, let's create spaces for community where people can really connect. And again, not necessarily connect with their tribe, which I know a lot of times we try to do with our small groups is like, you know, this is the young adults tribe, this is the youth tribe, but really getting back to what can I learn from people that are a different age of me, from me, or a different race, or a different, you know, they make less money than me, or they make way more than me. What can I learn from them and how can I encourage them? And I think that's going to be a big shift that happens. I think everyone in church kind of feels that, like, well, I want that, right? Every attendee, I want that community. And we need to make spaces for that at our church.
Yeah. It's all about relationships, isn't it? It's all about community relationships.
That isn't to say that, you know, the service doesn't matter, right? Like that's, you know, sometimes the service is what gets people there. And then it's like, you know, sometimes you have the, you know, you never, as an adult, you never be like, hey, you want to go sit in my living room? Like, you never say that, right? It's always like, hey, do you want to eat dinner? Or do you want to play a game night? There's always a reason to gather, right? But then the most important thing about what happens is just the conversations and the connection, right? The reason to gather wasn't really the reason to gather. It was just the excuse.
Yeah. That's for good stuff. All right. So the book is called Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. Now, Jonathan Malm is our guest today, but Jonathan, you wrote this book along with a couple other people, right? Can we should probably mention
Jason Young. Yeah. Jason Young. We pretty much all write all of our books together now. We wrote The Comeback Effect, The Volunteer Effect, a few others. We just enjoy working with each other.
Okay. And so you have other books, as you just mentioned. How can people find out more about the stuff you're doing and you've done?
Yeah. I mean, if you're on Instagram, Jonathan Malm, I make silly little videos about what it's like to work at a church. People seem to like them, but yeah. And then on Amazon, all the books are on Amazon, on Audible. I've noticed Spotify now has free audiobooks. Up to, I think it's like 14 hours free a month, including your subscription. So all the books are there, which is cool. So The Volunteer Effect, The Comeback Effect, Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright. You can listen to them there and check them out.
All right. Sounds good. Before we go here, I do want to mention something I forgot to mention with us. And that is, we didn't really talk about digital ministry so much today, but if you, those of you listening, if you want to take a digital ministry assessment test, you can find it at streamingchurch.tv/ well, what is it here? Let me look it up. It's streamingchurch.tv/assessment. Or if you want to just go to streamingchurch.tv/resources, you'll see digital ministry assessment as some of the resources we offer here. We're all about ministries just like Jonathan is. And so if we can help you in any way, we certainly want to be able to do that. And Jonathan, as always, it's been a minute, but it's great to see you again. And sounds like things are going really well for you. I hope they are.
Yeah, it's life is fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it certainly can be. All right. Well, let's wrap this up here. Thanks, Jonathan. And thank you, folks, for spending a little bit of time with us on the Church Solutions podcast. And again, if we can help you in any way, if you want to get a hold of Jonathan and you missed all that stuff, just reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. We'll point you in the right direction. And we sure appreciate you spending some time with us today. If you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, feel free to do so wherever you get your podcast. And if you can give us a rating, that would be good as well. All right. So for Jonathan here, as well as Steve Lacey, who's not here today, my name is Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other. And we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast.